Lord, thank you that you are a great God. Thank you for your love for us. And I just thank you that we can sing praises to your name. God, I just pray again that you would be with this service, be with this message. I pray that it would be one that touches our hearts. Part of your greatness, God, is that you have given us the ability to talk to you, to pray, and to hear from you. Lord, as we begin this series on hearing from you and hearing your voice, I pray that each one of us would become closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, just a second. Rochelle and Matt, I want to introduce you. Okay, you guys met Mike. Mike Marks. This is Mike's daughter, Rochelle, and her husband, Matt. And they helped us out. And so I just want to introduce you. Thank you. And that's Sandy. You may be seated. And you can turn up the lights. Because I think my forehead is probably blinding some of you right now. There we go. Now I can see you. Diane and I were gone camping for a couple weeks, and we missed you guys, and it's good to be back with you. I don't know about the heat, though. We were up on the north rim of the canyon, and I don't know if you've ever been there. I think it's over 1,000 feet higher in elevation than the south rim of the Grand Canyon, and it is beautiful, and we had our little side-by-side, and we rode, I think we put on over 750 miles on Forest Service roads. We'd ride the road and then come home and get the map and highlight it and so we could see where we've been and try to keep track of the wildlife. We're getting old enough now that wildlife for us is seeing wildlife. I mean, that's about it. I think we saw over 75 deer and quite a few bucks with velvet on their antlers. And we saw 6 grouse. We saw 27 wild turkeys. We saw about 25 buffalo. And what else did we see? Lots of woodpeckers, lots of them, and I saw one mountain lion. I got a glimpse of it. I told Diane, look, a mountain lion, and by then it was gone. She was so ticked that she didn't get to see it, so she gets off the bike, and she's trying to track it. I'm like, I don't think you should track a mountain lion. Probably the funniest story is and we're driving all these roads, and we're driving down this one road, 429, and Diane sees a watering hole. And so right away, she's thinking wildlife, like we're going to see deer or something. So we drive down to this watering hole, and there's 2 big black cows that are there. And they're looking at us like, what are you doing? This is, you know, ours. And all of a sudden, Diane sees deer up on the hillside. So I turn off the machine. And we're sitting there, and we're watching the deer. And all of a sudden, I hear, Diane heard it too. She thought it was me breathing heavy. And so I slowly turn, and here's one of those big black cows with its nose right over my shoulder, sniffing me out. I don't know if you've ever been around cattle, but cattle are real curious. Growing up, we used to go out in the pasture. We'd take somebody that'd never been around cattle. We'd go out in the pasture, and you just lay down. And within about a half hour, you've got a whole circle of cows looking at you, like, what are you doing laying down? Well, this one was sniffing us out. I don't know if it was me not smelling good from camping or if it was the machine trying to figure out what kind of an animal is that. One of the things about being up there was, and Diane loved it, there was no TV, there was no newspapers, and there was no cell phone coverage. None. except when we would go get gas at Jacob's Lake. And, you know, I was thinking about that. You know, Diane's like, she would tease me, how are you handling it? You can't be on Facebook. You can't get received texts or any of that stuff that, you know, she almost makes me put my phone in a lockbox at night. But there was no cell coverage, no bars, no 4G with the little arrows, no cell coverage. And it was good. I mean, we relaxed, and basically our communication was with each other and with God. You know, for me, heaven is getting up a nice cool morning. I think it was getting down to low 60s at night. Getting a can of Dr. Pepper in my Bible and sitting in an easy chair in the woods, reading, getting my fresh bread for the day, and sipping on a Dr. Pepper. And so that's how our mornings were spent. Well, Diane didn't drink Dr. Pepper. She drinks tea. But I was just thinking about that this week, about how some of us are so used to all the technology, all the communications that we have, that we're allowing it to crowd out the most important communication that we can have, which is hearing God. So I'm going to start this week just a short series. I'm calling it Can You Hear Me Now? From the Verizon advertisement. And I'm going to talk about how God wants us to hear him, how we can communicate with God, how we can hear God's voice, and how important that is. Probably one of the most dangerous phrases in the English language is this phrase: God told me to do it. Have you ever talked to somebody and they're set on doing something and they say, well, God told me to do it? And I think it's one of the most misunderstood phrases. I think it's a misused phrase. And I think it's abused. It could be one of the most manipulating phrases. When somebody says that, how do you argue with God? Oh, God told you to do that? How do you argue with God? I think there's been a lot of dumb decisions that have been blamed on God. I have to admit, even as a pastor, when someone tells me, God told me to do this, I'm sometimes a little more skeptical. I want to know, well, how do you know it was God? How did he tell you? So many times I think it's a counterfeit when people say that. And sad to say that I think pastors a lot of times use that. They say, they're trying to get a point across and they say, well, God told me. Usually when a person asks me that, I say, scripture and verse. I want to know in the Bible. But, you know, the existence of counterfeit always assumes reality. And what do I mean by that? There's never a counterfeit of anything that's not real. Have you ever seen a counterfeit $3 bill? No. You know, because there's no such thing as a $3 bill. You only counterfeit what actually exists in reality. And the presence of fake assumes the genuine. Does that make sense? The truth is, God does speak to people, and he wants to speak to you and I. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to do a series, Can You Hear Me Now? And in this series, we're going to look at how do you know when it's God talking? How do you hear God? How do you tune in to God? How do you know whether it's God talking or when it's just you talking to yourself? How do you know when it's the devil talking? How do you know when it's the pizza you ate last night talking to you? You know, we're going to look at some ways, and I'm going to give you some ways to test a phony message. How do you know when it's not the Bible? And we're going to look at the Bible that tell us how to know when it's God talking to you and when it's not. We're going to be using scripture as a basis, and there's an outline in your bulletins. And I do that so that you have the scripture, but also so that you can open your Bibles You know, I listened to Mike's message. That's one of the nice things about being about technology. You can go on our website and you can hear messages. So I checked out Mike's message, and one of the things he mentioned is the importance of having your Bible with you. And there are Bibles in the chairs in front of you if you don't have one, but I did not look up the page number like Mike did. The fact is, when it comes to hearing, you could go out and buy the finest radio around. According to Paul Harvey a few years ago, that was a Bose Wave radio. But if that radio isn't plugged into a source, it doesn't matter if you tune it. If it's not plugged into the source, you can tune it and it's not going to receive anything. You've got to be plugged in and you've got to be tuned in. The point is, God has already given you the capacity to hear him. The Bible says you were made in his image. That's what makes human beings different from animals. I know you think your dog Spike and cat Harry are smart, but animals don't pray. Animals don't communicate to God. Animals can't hear from God, but you can, because you're made in God's image. All the equipment that you already need to hear God was built in by your Creator. You just have to plug in and learn how to tune into it. And that's what we're going to do in this series. Anybody ever heard of a CB radio? Oh, we've got a couple of truckers out there, you know, a couple old timers. People used to put these things in their cars, and truckers still use them. And they say things like, breaker, breaker, you know, 10-4, good buddy. You know, put the pedal to the metal, keep the greasy side down, shiny side up, bugs off your bumper, smoky off your tail. I never said that on the CB. But one of the phrases that they used to use, I don't know if you guys have had CB radios. Do you remember this phrase? Got your ears on? Yeah. Got your ears on? That means, are you tuned in? Are you tuned in? That phrase, I'm sorry to tell you, truckers, that phrase wasn't original with the CB radio. Actually, Jesus said it over 2,000 years ago. In Luke chapter 8, verse 8, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What's he talking about in this verse? He's saying, I'm talking to you. Got your ears on? He's saying, if you've got the equipment, you need to tune it in. You have the equipment. I've already given you the ability to hear me, but you need to tune in to me. And then Jesus told the story about how to tune in. It's called the parable of the sower and the parable of the four soils. In Luke chapter 8, it says this, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this story. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the footpath, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rocky soil, where it came up. When it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Some other seed fell among weeds, which grew up with it and choked the plant. And still other seed fell on good soil. And it came up and yielded a crop of 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out and said, he who has ears, let him hear. So what's he talking about? I love this passage because I'm a farm boy. And I understand farm stuff. You know, and Jesus is talking, he's using an example of the farmer. And he says this farmer goes out to sow seed. Now, what that means is to plant, not to try to sew it together and make a nice applique. But it's to sow it. And in those days, and what he's talking about is this farmer, he didn't like dig a hole and put three seeds in it, make sure it was, and dig another hole. No, he was broadcasting. Anybody know what a broadcaster is? You've probably seen them with lawn seed. You put it in and you do the thing, and the sea goes everywhere. It goes on your patio, you know, some of it goes wherever. And in those days, a broadcaster was a bag of seed and a hand. And that's how he's saying the farmer is sowing seed. And so he says some of it fell on the path, the hard path. And so, you know, people were walking on it. I don't know if a path is, I remember growing up talking a lot about farming, but I remember growing up and we had a hard path. My brothers and I, we'd go out to change sprinklers, and you would have to, we'd walk the same place, and usually we would adapt one of the cows' paths, because I don't know if you've ever watched cows, but when they walk from one end of the field to the other, they don't do like a search, you know, spread out and march. No, they follow each other. And there's a path in the pasture that they walk on. And we used to have this path that we'd walk on when we'd go to change sprinklers. And it was hard. So the seed that fell on the hard path, it never got rooted. Never did. Jesus says this farmer in this story is representing God. And the seed represents God wanting to talk to you and I. The seed represents God's word to you. And the soil represents four different attitudes that you can have toward hearing from God. Four different responses, four different ways of hearing, four different heart or mind responses. And so today, I want to look at those. Because before we can look at how to hear God, you've got to hear how to prepare your heart and prepare your mind to hear God speak. Before we do that, let's talk about why it's important to hear from God. There's three reasons why it's important to hear God's voice. First, it proves that I am in God's family. It verifies, it shows that you're a believer. It confirms that you have a relationship with Christ, that he talks to you. If I talk to God, I should hear back from him. And that's what it means to have a relationship with him. You cannot have a relationship without communication. If you never hear from God, you have a reason to question whether you have a relationship with God, or to question whether you're listening to him at all, if you do have a relationship with him. Jesus said this in John 10:27. Jesus said, "My sheep recognize my voice, and they follow me." Now, there's this myth out there that God only speaks to the best of his children. Like, if you're Moses or someone like that, God might have something to say to you. But the truth is, you, as parents, do you just speak to some of your kids? Or do you speak to all of your children? You may just want to speak to some of your kids, but do you speak to all? Of course you do. And that's just the way it is. And when we talk about God speaking to us, one of the truths is he doesn't just speak to us during the good times. Have you noticed with your children, when they're struggling, you speak even more to them sometimes when they're struggling? And when we're struggling, God has even more to say to us. You know, when I talk to my kids, Erica and AJ, they recognize my voice. If I call Erica, I don't say, "Hi, Erica, this is Dale Farwell, your father." You know, all I have to do is say, "Hi." And she recognizes my voice. Plus, she's already looked at her phone to see who's calling. As you grow, you learn to recognize your father's voice. Number two is it protects me from mistakes. If you will listen to God, he will warn you in advance of traps in life. God will. He will keep this promise. In Proverbs 6, it says, "Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track." God has the power to keep us from making stupid mistakes in our lives if we will only listen to him. And there's a third reason why it's important to listen to God. It produces personal success. And what I mean by that, the Bible says this in Psalm 32:8, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Now, I'm not talking about the world's definition of success, which is usually about selfishness. I'm talking about God's definition of success, which is about significance, true significance in life. In that verse, it says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. For your life. Did you know that God has a definition of success, a plan for your life? And as you and I listen to him, he gets us and he keeps us on track with his plan for our lives. He has a customized path just for you. So these are the three benefits of hearing God speaking. Now I want to look at how to prepare to hear God's voice. And there's four things in this story that we read in Luke of how to prepare. First, if you want to hear God speak, you must first cultivate an open mind. Now, what does that mean? What do I mean by that? It means you've got to be receptive. You've got to be willing. You've got to be open and ready to hear what God says. The number one barrier to hearing God speak is resistance. It's like, well, I don't really like what I think he's telling me in this scripture. You know, so many people are closed to the possibility that God might speak to them. And this is what Jesus talked about in that first kind of soil, the footpath soil, Luke 8. He says, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. He's talking about the footpath that I talked about on the farm. And it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. There's always footpaths. And eventually, that path, it's a hard thing. And it talks about how that the seed can blow off that path, how the birds can eat off that path. Jesus gives us the meaning of this down in verse 12. He says, those along the footpath are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their heart so they cannot believe and be saved. There's two characteristics of a footpath. First, it's hard. It's hardened. And second, it's narrow. Do you know any minds like that? That are hardened and narrow? I know people who have a closed mind, a hard heart, a narrow view of life, and they're very, very close to even the possibility, closed to even the possibility of God in their life. I don't need God. I don't want God in my life. I don't know if I even believe in God. They are so closed-minded that God's seeds of truth and love cannot get through to talk to them. The point of this is sometimes we don't even give God a chance. We already have our minds made up, our hearts are hardened, and we're unwilling to listen. So this first kind of soil, the hard path, it represents a closed mind. The hard soil represents a closed mind. There's three symptoms or sins that can cause a closed mind. One is pride. You know, there's a story about a captain of a ship who looked into the dark night and saw faint lights in the distance. Immediately, he told his signalman to send a message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly, a return message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was angered. His command had been ignored, so he sent a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. Soon another message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Immediately, the captain sent a third message, knowing the fear it would evoke. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. Then the reply came. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. The captain's pride almost cost him the ship and the lives. So many times we say, I can handle this myself. I don't need anybody else. I certainly don't need God. I can figure it all out. I don't need his help, so why even pray? Pride causes me to close my mind to God. A second thing that causes that is fear. A lot of people are closed to God because they're afraid of what he might say. They're running from God out of fear. They're scared to death. What if God asked me to go to Africa where there's snakes? What if he asked me to do something that's too hard? What if he tells me something I don't like? So out of fear, we shut our minds down. What if I open my mind to God and he turns me into a religious fanatic? Oh, no. You know, all of a sudden I have to wear polyester and big hair and say, praise the Lord. What if all of a sudden he makes me goofy or something? I don't want to be goofy. What if all of a sudden God takes away all my fun? What if all of a sudden God takes away all my freedom? So I'm scared. And we close our mind down. Pride and fear. And the third one is bitterness. Bitterness causes people to close their hearts and their minds to God. Resentment. The fact is, you're going to be hurt in life. Sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally. What you do with that hurt makes the difference. When you hold on to that hurt and you keep going on and on and on in your mind, what you tend to do is you tend to shift the blame from the person who hurts you to God. It must be God. I'm going to blame God. All of a sudden, you're blaming God for the person who hurts you. God didn't hurt you. It was a person who did. When we get hurt and we hold on to those hurts, we become bitter, and bitterness makes our heart grow cold, and we turn from God instead of turning to the very one who can comfort us. So I'd say turn to God. What's the smart response? Look at the next verse. The Bible says this: get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. Humbly accept the message God has planted in your hearts, for it is strong enough to save your soul. You see those two words? Humbly accept. That's the opposite of a closed mind. It's an open mind. God, I can't do it on my own. I can't figure it out on my own, so I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to humbly open up my life to the possibility of God. The first step is you've got to open your mind. If you've got a closed mind, if you're not listening, you're never going to hear God. First, you cultivate an open mind. Secondly, if you want to hear God speak to you, you've got to allocate time to listen. You cultivate an open mind, allocate time. That means you've got to slow down. You have to make time to be quiet. You've got to put it in your schedule so you have time to hear God speak. You know, one of the reasons that we went where we did is it forced us to slow down, to be quiet, to be still, to hear God's voice. The first barrier to hearing God speak is resistance, but the second barrier to hearing God speak is hurry. Anybody have a busy schedule? Yeah, we all do. You know, and when we live hurried lives, God gets shuffled to the sidelines of our lives. God gets shortchanged. We're all in a hurry. We say, God, I want to hear from you. Speak. God, I need to do it. I need to hear from you in the next 5 minutes. Okay? Quick. And God says, I think I'll pass on that one. God wants more than your leftovers. God wants to be the center of your life. And the way that you prove he's the center of your life is you allocate time to listen. Here's the second kind of soil that Jesus talked about in verse 6 of Luke 8. He says, other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. This seed began to grow, but it soon withered and died for lack of moisture. I've never been to Israel. I'd like to go someday. But I've heard that the country of Israel is a thin layer of topsoil over a bedrock of limestone. It's not really fertile country. It's not like America. We would have really deep topsoil in a lot of our areas. Israel's just a little thin layer of topsoil over a bedrock of limestone. So you can't plant something in this rocky soil and the seed sprout. You can plant it, the seed or sprout, but then it can't get deep roots, so it withers and it dies. It doesn't last very long. In verse 13, Jesus says this. This is what it represents. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy, but like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe for a while, but they wilt when the hot winds of testing blow. Jesus says the second kind of soil, the shallow soil, represents a superficial mind. Sometimes we react superficially to God's word. We get excited. We react emotionally. We're moved emotionally and impulsively, but we don't let God's word develop roots in our daily lives. So there's no real change. It's just kind of an emotional reaction. Notice the verse says, it says they receive the word with joy. They're going, wow, that was a great service. That was a good message. But then they walk out the door and forget it immediately. They never allow the word to penetrate. Why does that happen? Because we forget what we hear a lot of times. Notice it says, these people have shallow roots. It says, like young plants in such soil, the roots don't go very deep. These are not deep people. They're shallow. They're superficial. They believe for a while. They're fair weather believers. They believe for a while, but when the hot winds of testing blow, they wither. When problems come and when the heat's on, and they dry up and they blow away. Some of you, maybe a lot of you, are going through a financial crisis or a health crisis or going through a relay. Hear God's voice. You have to cultivate an open mind and you have to allocate time to listen. And then third, you must eliminate the distractions. You can't hear God when your mind is crowded with other thoughts, when your mind is crowded with worries and concerns and anxieties, when your mind is filled with your plans and your to-do list and what you've got to do next, what you haven't done yet, and what, you know, you can't hear God when your mind is filled with your dreams and your plans and your ambitions and your activities. When your mind is filled with television and radio and the internet and your Palm Pilot. Hey, anybody remember Palm Pilots? That was a while ago. Did you have one, Mike? Yeah, you were tech savvy if you had a Palm Pilot. With your phone, with your cell phone, when all this noise is going on, you're not going to hear God. This is the third kind of soil. Jesus calls it the soil with weeds. Luke 8, verse 7, he says, other seed fell in the weeds, and the weeds grew with it and strangled it. Notice in this soil, the seed does not get to sprout. It actually starts growing, but after a while, it gets choked out by the weeds, so it never bears fruit. In verse 14, he explains this, the meaning of this. He says, Jesus says, the seed that fell among the weeds stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they don't mature. That phrase, as they go, do you ever feel like you're always on the go? Going from this appointment to that appointment, from this thing to that thing, and you fall prey to this one. The first barrier to hearing God is resistance. The second is hurry. The third one is busyness. You can get so distracted and so busy that you don't have time to hear God. There's a lot of people that confuse activity with productivity. Friends, those aren't the same. You could always be on the go, but you could be going in circles. You're not really making any progress, and there's no fruit in your life. The Bible says these people are choked. Today, we'd say in common terms, they're stressed out. They're at the end of their rope. They've hit their limit. They're about to throw in the towel. They're choked. They're stressed out. Jesus said the distractions are like weeds that grow up in your life and choke out the ability for you to hear God. Now, there's different distractions. The first, he says, is worry. You could be so busy with the problems and pressures of daily living that you forget God. The word worry really means pulled in different directions, stretched to the limit and pulled in different directions. When that happens, we forget God because we're too filled with anxiety. We're too filled with worry that we don't even think about God anymore. And then he said, another one is riches. You could be so busy making money that you forget God. You get up in the morning, you head off to the office or wherever you work, you put it in a full day's work, you come home wasted and tired, and your head hits the pillow, and you go to sleep, and you get up the next morning, and you do it again. You don't have any time for God. You're so busy making a living, you don't have time for God. You're not making a life. You can't hear God. So he says, worry can distract you. Pursuing wealth can distract you. Then he says, pleasure can distract you. What's wrong with pleasure? Nothing. God created it. God gave you your five senses, which gives you your ability to experience pleasure. He created all the pleasure in the world, so there's nothing wrong with pleasure, except when you're so busy pursuing fun, you forget God, and there's no place in your life for Him. You have to eliminate distractions. These are just three weeds. There are lots of different kinds of weeds. A weed is anything you allow to take first place in your life instead of God. A weed is anything you allow to choke God out of your schedule. It could be a very good thing, but if it's anything that you allow to choke God out of your life and you don't have time to hear God, it's a weed. In the Old Testament, there was this guy named Elijah. And one time, he wanted to hear God speak. And he goes up on this mountain, he says, God, I want to hear from you. So God puts on this incredible show. First, God sends a huge wind, and it comes roaring through the canyon. Might have been a haboob, I don't know. It comes roaring through the canyon, but God wasn't in the wind. And then the Bible says, then he sends an earthquake, and the whole mountain starts rumbling. Elijah's very impressed, but it says God wasn't in the earthquake. And then he sent a roaring fire, a forest fire down the mountain. But it says God wasn't in the fire. Then it says God spoke to Elijah in a whisper. A still, small voice. It says there was a sound of a gentle whisper. You know what the problem with the whisper is? You have to be quiet to hear it. It's the only way you're going to hear a whisper. I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you. God has been whispering to you all week. God has been whispering to you all week. But you couldn't hear him. Why? Because you're not quiet. We as people, we don't like quiet. Probably made some people uncomfortable that I whispered. People can't handle silence, yet it is in quietness that God says, hey, I'm talking to you. All this week, God has been talking to you. He's been whispering to you. God doesn't shout. He doesn't write it in the sky. He doesn't go, this is God. He doesn't do that. Only the movies do that. God whispers. You have to be quiet to hear God's whisper. But in order to do that, you have to eliminate the distractions. So cultivate an open mind. Allocate time to listen. Eliminate the distractions. These are the things you have to do in advance. And in the weeks ahead, we're going to get into real detail about how do you hear God speak. And how do you know when it's God and when it's not God? But before you can do that, you need to do a little heart check, a little heart and mind preparation, and that's what you do here. The fourth thing you have to do to prepare to hear God speak is you have to cooperate with what he says. So I cultivate an open mind. I allocate time to listen. I eliminate the distractions, and I cooperate with whatever God says. This is very, very important. God speaks to the person who decides in advance, beforehand, to do whatever God tells him or her to do. You're saying, yes, God. Before you even tell me what to do, I'm telling you my answer is yes. Before you even talk to me, God, I'm telling you, okay. I know you love me. I know you're smarter than me. I know you're God and I'm not. I know you know what's best for my life. So God, whatever you tell me, I'm telling you in advance, I'm going to do it. That's the person that God speaks to. You say in advance, God, I'm willing to cooperate with whatever you want me to do. Yes, Lord, I'm signing a blank check of cooperation, and you fill it in. This is what the Bible calls the good soil in verse 15. It says the seed that fell into the good soil. First they hear it, then they retain it, they memorize it, and they remember it. The seed that fell into the good soil stands for those who hear the message and retain it in a good and obedient heart. They persist until they bear fruit. This is the good soil. We call this a willing mind. God, I'm willing to do whatever you ask me to do. I'm willing to pass it on to anybody that you want me to pass it on to. I will be a mouthpiece for you. You want to hear from God this morning? You want to hear from God this week? Make the decision before that you will do what he asks you to do. A willing mind. A willing heart. You hear it. You retain it. And then you obey it. And then you persist in what God has asked you to do. And you will bear fruit. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Next week I'm going to speak on the five ways that God speaks to us. But I want to warn you. The moment you walk out of this building, Satan has a plan to have little birds to distract you from acting on what you've just heard today. Don't let him steal the seed. You can pass it on to others. I'm going to pray a prayer right now, and I invite you to follow me in this prayer in your mind. Would you pray with me? Dear God, I want to learn to hear your voice. Help me take these steps of preparation. I want to cultivate an open mind. I want to allocate time to listen. Today I commit or recommit to having a daily time with you, a quiet time with you. Lord, help me to eliminate the distractions, the weeds in my life. I want to cooperate with you. Heavenly Father, before you even tell me what you want me to do, I'm saying yes. I'm going to say it in advance to you because I know you have my best interests in mind. You have a plan for me. I surrender my life to you. I say yes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.